Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Bronx House Dawn from the Boogie Down Bronx, and you're now listening to Soundcheck from WNYC.
A forest of arms turning into fins, with ancient veins on granite chin.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Wide open vocals, far away guitars, they trickle through the poignant songwriting of Tony Decker, frontman of the Great Lake Swimmers. In their latest, their sixth release, A Forest of Arms, the Toronto band mixed their signature haunting melodies with a fuller and brighter sound. Today they'll give us a taste in the studio, beginning with this song, called Zero in the City. It's Great Lake Swimmers live on Soundcheck. Band is Great Lake Swimmers from Toronto here in our New York studio, and a live performance of the song Zero in the City, which you will find on their latest CD called A Forest of Arms. Let me introduce you to the members of Great Lake Swimmers. Tony Decker is the lead vocalist and one of the two guitarists. The other is Eric Arneson. Miranda Mulholland on violin and backing vocals. Brett Higgins playing the upright bass. And Joshua Van Tassel playing the drums. Check that drum, singular. Although he's got lots of other percussion stuff affixed to various limbs. Tony, to you and the rest of the band, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks so much for having us.
We have not heard much from you guys in recent years. It's been, what, 3 years since the last record?
Yeah, that's right. We toured that album for a year or two. And then...
That's New Wild Everywhere.
New Wild Everywhere was our last one, yeah. I did a little solo thing. I did a solo record. I didn't make it down into the U.S., but I toured across Canada.
And well, that was a very Canadian-oriented project, that covers record, wasn't it?
That was actually in addition to another solo record that I did. That covers record was the second solo sort of project that I did.
So you had a couple of things going there.
Yeah. So that sort of explains. Not really a hiatus, but a little sort of interlude between records.
Mm-hmm. Although now that you're back, there are a couple of things that have kind of been consistent with Great Lake Swimmers over the years. One of them being an ability to record outside of the recording studio, looking for something with a kind of a different sound. There was the grain silo all those years ago. Tell us about the location where some of this music was recorded.
Yeah, sure. I feel like with this record, we got the best of a lot of possible worlds in terms of recording, because we did a lot of the bed tracks, which are basically drums and bass ahead of time, in a sort of a studio environment east of Toronto, and then brought those recordings into different locations to record things like vocals and acoustic instruments. For the violin, for example, we brought the tracks into sort of a historic hall in Toronto called the Heliconian Club. It was a women's club since the turn of the century, and I thought, what better place could there be to record Miranda's singing and violin playing? It was really appropriate.
Presumably, you mean the turn of the 20th century, because it wouldn't be that historic if it was the turn of
I guess turn of the century could mean that too, but no, the turn of the 20th century. Yeah. It's a very old hall in Toronto, and then for my vocals and guitar playing, we brought the tracks into this cave system a couple hours east of Toronto called Tiendanaga Cavern and Caves, and it's a privately owned cave system on a piece of old farmland that has been made open to the public in the last couple years. There's a guy there named Charles that has been working on it for many years, and we got in touch with him, and I kind of just said, I did the tour there a couple of years ago. They do a cave tour where you can go in, and they tell you all about how like the Ice Age worked and all of the cool things that cool to me, I guess, because I'm a super nerd. But I thought it was awesome, and at the end of it, I was like, hey, have you ever thought of like having any music recorded in here? And they were like, get in touch, and I did when it came time to record the album, and it.
So you actually took the backing tracks and played them back in the space while you were recording voices and guitars and stuff like that?
Yeah, like through headphones.
Yeah,
And we had speakers in there, too. We actually reamped some of the pre-recorded tracks in the space, too. But the biggest thrill for me was being able to sing in a space like that.
Right. Now, what do you get from being in a place like that, underground, a natural place, naturally? What do you get as a performer that you don't get from being in the studio where the bass and the drums were laid down?
Yeah, there's a couple things, actually. And one of them that's become really important to me is like the creative process. You know, it's kind of like that's part of it. It's part of what makes making records exciting to me, is kind of seeking out these really unusual locations to record in. It adds a lot to the creative process of it, informs the writing to a certain extent, but, usually when we're at the recording process, the songs are pretty much done and written.
Right.
But there's a reflection of that in the writing to a certain extent. The other thing is that in a space like that, it draws a certain kind of performance out of you. It's almost like, there's an excitement about it, there's a liveliness about it, and it just, I think it, you play and sing a little bit more intensely in a space like that. And it's hard to fake it, you know. Like you have to. If we were to edit it, it's a very difficult thing to edit because like this, you know, there's that extra.
Not everything is within your control.
Exactly. So you're at the mercy of like the tracks that you happen to get when you're there.
Yeah.
So that kind of keeps it interesting on some levels too. And the last thing really for me is like it adds that sonic layer, that sort of like. You don't quite understand what you're hearing, but there's an extra layer of something there. And that, to me, I think in the past and with this recording, too, makes it on just a purely a sonic level stand out a bit more as well.
Yeah. The results are on the Great Lake Swimmers' latest record called A Forest of Arms, which comes from the song that we heard a little bit of coming in, The Great Bear.
Mm-hmm.
That phrase, A Forest of Arms, I mean, it sort of echoes a call to arms, but it also echoes your consistent interest in conservation, environment, that sort of thing.
For sure, yeah, and I think that's the sort of the overt meaning, I think, is this sort of a little bit more of a focus and grappling lyrically with, you know, ideas of conservation and protecting some of our very last green spaces. In Canada in particular, this song was written in a place called the Great Bear Rainforest. It's on the northwest, it's in the Pacific Northwest in British Columbia, Canada. And so there's some really tough people up there that are raising their voice and trying to fight off this encroaching industry. And we're talking really big industry. And these very small communities are pulling together and trying to stand up for this land that has been there since the very beginning,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's been untouched and unspoiled all of this time. And it's one of our last places that's like that. So the risk factors that come along with industry, big oil industry, for example, the risk factors are very high. And the balance is certainly tipped in their favor. So I really felt a sense of urgency after seeing that to sort of add my voice in some way, and that happens to be through song.
Can you swim in all of the Great Lakes? I mean, I know people swim in Lake Michigan. What about, you're on Lake Ontario, right?
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Okay, so things haven't gotten so out of hand that you can't actually do what your band name implies.
Yeah, things have actually gotten better. I mean, like I grew up, you know, in the 80s, for better or for worse, swimming in some of the Great Lakes, and they were actually a lot worse off then than they are now. People are actually Lake Erie, for example.
Lake Erie was a mess for a while.
Absolutely. That was the worst one because you have, you know, like Cleveland, Detroit, you know, Buffalo, all of these big industry towns, you know, historically,
yeah.
Right on the lake. So, you know, that, but they're getting better, actually.
Good.
So, yeah, right. Which is hopeful.
Yes. Great Lake Swimmers is the band. A Forest of Arms is the latest record. It's out now. Right now they're with us playing in the Soundcheck studio. You want to do Don't Leave Me Hanging next?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Speaking with Tony Decker, the singer and songwriter from Great Lake Swimmers, and he'll strap on the guitar and the band will perform another song for us here in the Soundcheck studio. This one again called Don't Leave Me Hanging.
Different hair when I saw you last. You flew away, flew when you could have fought, but you did fight. You went so many rounds, delivered one shot at a time. Start it all over.
the sparks where they landed. It's winter now, it's cold, so finish soon. Your wings drying out, seeing when hell freezes over. They'll straighten out, just wait it out. Even Sundays, swimming where the current moves slow through your mouth and the way you pronounce. Murmurs, the babble, wayward characters, one brush stroke at a time. Don't leave me hanging, don't leave me hanging, drowning in shallow water. Don't leave me hanging, don't leave me hanging, to start it all over.
Song's called Don't Leave Me Hangin', another live performance in the Soundcheck studio from the Toronto band called Great Lake Swimmers, with Tony Decker leading the way on vocals and guitar, Miranda Mulholland with backing vocals and violin, Eric Arneson playing guitar, Brett Higgins on bass, Joshua Van Tassel playing percussion. And Don't Leave Me Hangin', Tony, is one of several songs on this album that uses avian, you know, bird imagery. Are you a birder?
Not really, no. My folks are kind of into it, actually. Maybe that's how it kind of crept into my subconscious. They've got, like, the big book, you know what I mean? On big, you know, the big book
I
of
don't
Ontario
know what
birds.
You mean. No. Yeah. I'm not a birder myself. Yeah. Although, you know, you're talking before about your kind of conservationist, environmentalist bent, and very often people who are of that persuasion are very focused on birds, because that's usually where you begin to see, you know, they talk about the canary in the coal mine.
Right,
that's where
yeah.
you begin to see signs of problems.
Yeah. I mean, well, there's crazy things happening in maybe not the avian world, but like with tying back into the caves, like the bat population, there's been a huge drop in that. The bees, honeybees,
right,
you know,
right.
And then you get these, you know, thousands of fish kind of showing up on the shores of California and Washington and British Columbia. And you have to start to wonder. I think that's one of the obvious signs, right? Like,
yeah.
we're actually, I think, living through this boiling point. You know, we just barely enough chance to kind of like maybe try to turn it around if we can. Yeah.
Now, can you write songs about that, that work, you know, as songs first and foremost, but still somehow manage, you know, how do you serve two masters at the same time like that?
It's a challenge, you know. I think it's very much a challenge. It's a challenge that I'm trying to accept, you know, more and more as this project goes on, because as a project, I think the lyrical focus has always been about celebrating the natural world, kind of trying to identify one's place in it, and maybe trying to approach a kind of a spirituality in that natural world. And thematically, that's run through the project over six albums for us. And you know, coming to a little bit more of an overt thing with A Forest of Arms.
Yeah. And over the course of those six albums, the band has grown. I mean, it was a trio in early days. Now you're a quintet. Was that a function of the songwriting? You know, did it at some point just need to have the bigger palette?
I think to a certain extent, yeah. Like, we had a sort of a revolving cast early on. It, you know, with the first album that came out in 2003, it was essentially a vehicle for my songwriting. It was more or less a solo project. But, you know, with a lot of encouragement, it just sort of, I always kind of envisioned a band being there, which is why, you know, I named it that, you know, as the project or the band what it was. So it eventually just kind of like became a band. You know, we found the people and you know, over the years, people kind of like have like stepped in and stepped away from the project, and there's been a kind of an ebb and flow. But we've, over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, 6 years, we've kind of like, I think, settled on a really cool lineup, a really, you know, great chemistry within the band that can travel, and we play well together, you know, not just musically, but, you know, on the road as well. So, and that's pretty crucial too, as anyone that's in a band will know. I mean, you got to have that too. So
how do you work as a touring musician in a van? You know, do you worry about your carbon footprint and stuff? I mean, let's face it, being a touring musician is not a very eco-friendly, for most people, an eco-friendly way to make a living.
It's true. You know, in fact, I was just reading something about like, I think it was an interview with like Tom York of Radiohead or something, who is, you know, very much into that exact idea, trying to like reduce the footprint of a touring band. I think it's very, very difficult to do that. You know,
well, if you're Tom York and you have the resources to,
but I think even with a big production like that, I think, you know, and with the resources, I think, you know, the amount of production that has to go into something like that is, you know, that makes it even more difficult. You know, for me, I think my take on it is that, like, what we really, you know, what I think would be really good for us as a society would be a bit of a paradigm shift. And I think it starts from small things, and it becomes a way of thinking. And if the next generation is kind of thinking about, you know, reusing things, recycling things, and kind of focusing instead of on economic growth, but an economic sort of recycling in a way. I think that a lot of environmental ideas make a lot of sense economically too. It's just a matter of changing the paradigm.
Right. Well, they're also just good ideas. I mean, walking 5 blocks to the store instead of getting in the car, that's just a good idea.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, it's hopefully we won't be in a position where people are forced to do that. Hopefully we're still in a position where people can choose to do that.
Yeah. Speaking with Tony Decker of Great Lake Swimmers, the new album is called A Forest of Arms. Something Like a Storm is the lead-off track on the album. You're going to wrap up with it for us today.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear another live performance. This is Great Lake Swimmers with Something Like a Storm.
Something like a storm coming in. So many parts are larger things. And a changing atmosphere. I've been expecting you. Just ahead of tempest lines. Promise you it will be fine. Buried in yourself so deep. Pray the Lord my soul to my soul to keep. Can you hear me clearly now? Over there, and how are you? I've been waiting patiently, singing little melodies. La 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 la. La 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 la.
Great Lake Swimmers, and another live performance, Something Like a Storm is the name of that song. And Eric switched from guitar to banjo. As for the rest of the band, it's As You Were. Playing live here in the Soundcheck studio, songs from their latest album called A Forest of Arms. Great Lake Swimmers, guys, thank you so much for being with us. Sounded great.
Thank you.
This is Soundcheck.
I was a wayward pastel bay with a prized pelt that at times huffed in the moon, overcome and felt.
If you like Soundcheck, consider subscribing to our podcast. It's easy. Just find us in the iTunes store and click on Subscribe. We'll send you our latest interviews, in-studio performances, and more.